Hi, this is Jennifer Easerlo, the Skinny Chef. In My Granny's Kitchen is an ongoing series of tape conversations that take place at Granny's kitchen table in the house where I grew up. Granny is famous for her cooking, and that's where my food education started. I want to share her legacy and how she taught me to bring people together with food. So pull up a chair and join us in Granny's Kitchen. In this episode, Granny shares her best Thanksgiving tips for what she considers to be the biggest feast of the year. From smooth mashed potatoes to her moist stuffing, Granny knows best. After all, she's cooked over 60 Thanksgiving dinners. She also tells the story of a jealous feline, her black cat, who almost spoiled the finale to the meal. Okay, so yeah, let's talk about Thanksgiving.
Okay.
With the queen of all holidays.
Yeah, it's the big feast day, right? big feast day.
The biggest meal of the year, I think.
Yes.
For most families.
Really like to call for a feast day. And it's a family holiday, really a family holiday. When I was younger, about maybe 14 or 15, and I used to help my father stuff the turkey, and we always had to get up really early then. Because we always did a gigantic turkey, 20 pounds, sometimes 25 pounds of turkey. So we'd get up real early to stuff the turkey. And he'd always tell the same stories, because he was getting older too, and he'd always tell the same stories about how he had gone to this lady's home, and she had made this, wasn't turkey, it was chicken. And she forgot to take that bag of innards.
Oh, right, the neck.
Yeah, and the gizzards.
Oh,
and, yeah.
Ooh.
She forgot to take it out and baked it, you know. And that he always remembers that, and he always would tell me about that story about it. But later on, when I got so that I did mostly everything by myself, the secret is, of course, not to leave everything go for
the last minute, right?
Yeah, you have to do some of your cooking and everything, sometimes even weeks ahead, not weeks ahead, but at the beginning of the week, because you could make cranberry sauce and things like that.
And those things will store
nicely. And they'll still store nicely. But, and also you always had to bake. Now this is another story about the cat. That same black cat.
Oh, that rascal.
One day for Thanksgiving, I think it was the day before, I had made these big pumpkin pies, maybe about three or four of them, and I had them on the counter cooling because the next day was Thanksgiving, so I just left them overnight on the counter. And that darn cat, she was very, very picky about what she ate. I mean, she would hardly ever eat any human food. She always wanted certain things. You know, she's real picky about what she ate. But when I got up in the morning, I looked at the pies, and I said, gee, there's something strange poking about that pie. And for some reason, that darn black cat took a liking to pumpkin, and she had taken the inside and most of the pumpkin had eaten most of the pumkin before.
The center.
Yeah, right. Yeah. She only attacked, but she didn't attack them all, thank God. She left some for us.
You know, I think it was a jealousy thing with her. Whenever she was jealous, if you weren't paying attention to her. So what probably happened was you were making the pies and she cried for you to pet her and you scolded her.
Yeah.
So she thought, I'll get those
revenge.
Pies.
Yeah. Well, tell about that story about your boyfriend.
Oh,
and
yeah. That was funny. He was my first boyfriend when I was in college, and he came over and I was making him a sandwich and I was doting on him. And the cat was there. She was crying, not because she wanted the sandwich, but she wanted me to play with her. And I said, get out of here, you know, shush. And, you know, he put the sandwich down for him and he went to the bathroom and I started cleaning up. And I turned around and I looked and I thought the sandwich looked so odd because it was just two slices of bread. And it was almost as if someone had picked the top of the bread, just put it to the side, very you know, delicately. And when I looked down, she was under the table gobbling, I mean, gorging herself on the lunch meat. And she was greedy, just like, you know, looking at me. She was furious. And this was a cat who wouldn't even eat lunch meat. She wouldn't even touch it. I tried to give her a little piece of ham or a piece of cheese, and it was, yeah. Cats are funny. Very spunky.
Well, anyway, get back to the Thanksgiving dinner. Everything you prepare as much as you can ahead. And of course, we had a typical Thanksgiving with turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes and stuffing and
all. Tell me the trick to your mashed potatoes, because they always, you know, come out perfect. There's never any lumps.
Well, I'll tell you something about mashed potatoes. Of course, once you put them in, first you must put them in cold water. Start them in cold water.
I think that's a mistake
potatoes,
a lot of people
yeah.
make, right?
And you have to put salt in the water. You've got to put salt, because that's the time when the potato grabs the flavor of the salt. And after you drain them in a colander, I let them stand for a while so that a little bit of the steam pours off. And I'm not pours off, comes off of the potato. And then I just mash them and put butter and
I think you're leaving out a step.
What's that?
You always mash a little handful first with the butter, and then you heat your milk.
Yeah, I do. I heat the milk and the butter together. So
together,
it's good
right.
and hot.
But you don't mash them all at once, because that's
no,
where the lumps come in.
No, I mash them, take them out of the colander, and mash them while they're dry.
A little
dry.
Handful first.
Yeah, and dry. Make sure they're all mashed before I add even the milk and butter. And then I start to add the milk and butter and see, and taste it to see if it's salty enough.
And then you add additional scoops
right,
of cubed potatoes.
Yeah, right, as you go along, yeah.
So what do you think are the best do-ahead tips for people who don't cook on a regular basis, who can...
For Thanksgiving?
Right.
Okay, I always made, as I said, cranberry sauce ahead. I'd always get my vegetables that I'm going to make with the stuffing cut, like all the onion and celery and whatever you put into your dressing. And if you do make the stuffing or dressing ahead, like the night before, do not put it into the turkey. Cover
right.
it and put it into the refrigerator, and then you have it ready early in the morning when you want to stuff your turkey.
Why don't you put it inside the turkey?
Because that the inside of the turkey still has the blood, and you know, and you have to wash that out too. That's another thing. You've got to wash the inside of the turkey out real well, dry it with a piece of paper towel or a towel, and then I always take salt and put some in my hand and rub it on the inside of the carcass, so it'll, if there's anything that would, you know, be carrying bacteria, that salt would help to kill
to
that.
Kill the bacteria.
Yeah.
That's a good tip.
Okay, so what else could you make ahead? If you were having, like, oftentimes I'd serve make a bean salad for later on in the evening when we had sandwiches.
Oh, I like that three
yeah.
bean salad.
So I would make that ahead. And I can't right off the top of my head think of anything else that I would make ahead. Oh, of course, I did all the baking ahead.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
right.
And usually at for Thanksgiving, we just had pie, like any types of pie.
Did you ever make nut roll for Thanksgiving?
No, I didn't too often.
It was mostly Easter and
yeah,
Christmas.
Easter and Christmas, so we
right.
made nut roll and apricot and poppy seed roll. No, I didn't make it for then.
How would you make apple pie, or did you leave that up to Aunt Del?
I didn't make that many apple pies, but just to... You know, made the crust. I like that crust where you put in some vinegar and sugar, and then you wrap it in saran wrap and stick it in the refrigerator for even overnight or a day before you roll it out. I like it because sometimes I'm real successful and have a real crispy, a good flaky crust, and other times, for some reason, it doesn't turn out. But when I make it with part butter and part shortening.
Okay,
I don't use lard at all. I've stopped using lard for anything many, many, many years ago. I don't use it. But that's, I guess people that make pie crust say that lard's the very best. Hmm. But I've never used it. I've never gotten away from it.
Granny's Kitchen is recorded and produced by Jennifer and Ulrich Iserlo. To find recipes, news on healthy living, and more of Granny's Kitchen stories, visit skinnychef.com.